This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
Black Friday has officially started at Blinds.com, and the savings are huge. Right now, you can save up to 50% site-wide and score premium doorbusters and a free professional measure. Don't wait. These deals are happening right now. Swapping out old blinds for custom window coverings is a small project with big results, and Blinds.com makes it easy and affordable. With Blinds.com, there are no long lines or confusing quotes. You shop online without sacrificing quality, style, or service. One of our design experts can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. We can even handle everything from measure to install. Plus, you get window treatments for your whole home installed for just one low cost. With over 25 million windows covered, Blinds.com is the number one online retailer of custom window coverings. Blinds.com's Black Friday sales event is happening now with our best deals of the season. Save up to 50% site-wide and score premium doorbusters and a free professional measure at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
High noon here on Jones and Keefe, WEEI. It was that kind of day yesterday. Jaylen Waddle does nothing against everyone all year long.
Whew, he was cooking yesterday.
He is an afterthought.
Yeah.
In the Dolphins' offense these days.
Which is crazy because they paid him. Like, he's one of those receivers that got that big second contract.
We talked about it.
They don't even go to him.
We talked about it late last week. We're like, could he potentially be available in the offseason because he's such an afterthought?
They made a point to say he doesn't say anything. Like, he hasn't complained once about the lack of targets and all that other stuff. And then yesterday he was gangbusters.
So, well, apparently part of that was the Patriots' philosophy. I had a listener email me, Dolphins fan.
Oh, yeah, let Jaylen Waddle beat him.
Apparently the story in Miami this morning is that Patriots played all single high safety, and that's different than how other teams have defended the Dolphins, and that's why Waddle went off.
I mean, they did a decent job on Tyreek Hill.
They did.
You know, the week before, both Puka Nacua and Cooper Kupp did whatever they wanted. This week it was just Jaylen Waddle and Jonnu Smith. And Devon Achane, and everybody but Tyreek Hill. Because that was the one guy you're like, all right, I guess they kind of slowed him down. 5 for 48 for Tyreek Hill. Like, all right.
Yeah, that's pretty good. Hang on, though, Keith. We have some non-NFL breaking news.
What?
Ladies and gentlemen, we interrupt this program.
This is breaking news. Breaking news on WEEI is presented by BetQL. Smarter bets start with BetQL. Download the BetQL app or visit BetQL.com today.
Not sure if he got hacked, but Shams Charania, and it is him on Twitter. Boston Celtics center Kristaps Porzingis plans to make his season debut tonight against the LA Clippers. Sources tell ESPN Porzingis returns 5 months after undergoing foot surgery.
How about that?
What the f*** is Tingus Pingus?
I mean, that is, talk about not even anywhere near on my, I assumed he wasn't back until
December.
January 2025.
I thought December was like
I thought
early.
Next year. Yeah, exactly. December would have been early,
calendar year. Yeah. Like next season.
No, next calendar year.
Season.
Yeah.
Yeah, but because they said December, and you're like, well, I mean, there's no need to rush. But then again, if they feel like he's ready, you also don't need to, there's no reason to just sit around and wait. You know, he had that weird transaction thing that we updated last week or the week before. Remember, he's like,
yeah, he's practicing with Maine, the Red Claws.
Even though they were here.
Whatever they are, yeah.
Yeah, so we got like a signed to Maine and then like recalled. You're like, what does even any of that mean? But it's like, he's doing stuff. And then people are sniffing around, you know, how much is he doing at practice? He's been with the team quite a bit, but holy smokes.
That is shocking news. Do you think?
I never heard of Latavia.
Do you think, Keith?
Yeah.
Or are you concerned at all they're rushing him?
Well, no, because there's zero reason to. So that would be my thought.
The reason would be, and you hear it after, you know, some of these games that they drop, that their interior defense is lacking. Yeah. And so, I mean, there is a reason. But
they only lost three games. You know what I mean? Like, they're off to a 14-3 start to the year. And I don't think his long-term health, you'd put it
here's
risk.
The second that guy's cleared, you put him out there. Yeah. Because you can wait as long as you want.
He's gonna get hurt again.
He can get hurt at any point in time. Exactly.
He might get hurt so, Christmas.
That's just way earlier than I expected, but am I concerned?
It's like out of nowhere.
Him back? Not really, no.
Wouldn't you see, like, hey, he's going to be back in like a week or two? It's like, he's playing tonight. It's like, well, I'm sorry, what? Like, yeah, he's playing tonight.
He's back tonight.
He's playing tonight against the Clippers home game.
Okay, so that's breaking news. That was not on my radar here today, but again, yeah. Shams over at ESPN. Boston Celtics center Kristaps Porzingis plans, maybe that word's doing a lot of work there,
yeah.
But plans to make a season debut tonight against the Clippers. You can weigh in on that if you'd like. Plus all your Patriots thoughts.
I think I saw a Terp do a cartwheel down the hallway.
779-7937. I was just, you know, where was Scoops Terp on that one? Where was Scoops Keefe on that one?
I fell asleep.
You got to.
You know, I was not ready for that.
You got to branch out into the NBA, Keefe, one of these days. Let's knock out some phone calls. We'll get back into the Patriots, their loss yesterday, and just the ugly locker room scene after the game. Ugly because it's embarrassing. Apparently they were having a lot of fun in there after their loss. Plus Christian Gonzalez is going to join us later this hour on a Patriots Monday. Tony is in Bridgewater. Hello, Tony.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good.
I had low expectations of Mayo coming into the season, but I hope Kraft swallow his pride to get another guy in here, because I'll tell you the truth. The only thing missing from Mayo is that fake mustache like Bobby Valentine had, because this guy sucks.
Okay. There you go.
I'm not going to disagree with much there.
No. Valentine, not that bad, though, with the Mets. He was horrible here. He was a joke here.
But Bobby Valentine,
when he was sneaking back in here with the little fake cookie duster, they were, didn't he take him to a World Series?
I think he was the manager in the Subway Series, wasn't he? I believe.
Yeah. So, but, I mean, Bobby Valentine, or here, we view him as a joke.
Okay, but this is like that, Keith. This really is like that. Obviously, those Red Sox have much higher expectations, but this is like that.
No, you had referenced every Sunday Bill Simmons just goes nuts on Twitter about Mayo specifically, but this Patriots team. He had one from weeks ago, which I'm sure he stands by, comparing it to
Rick Pitino,
Joe Kerrigan, Rick Pitino at the end, and there was like one other one where
I think it might have been Valentine,
maybe Bobby V, but yeah. Joe Kerrigan was a classic one. That guy was a bum, but yeah, and I think if you see the signs of it, like obviously every coach, I assume, or manager is hired by the GM or owner with the intention that they're going to be good, but then as you know, games and weeks go by, and you're talking to them probably on a daily basis, you're like, oh crap. I made a mistake. So what's the bigger mistake?
Doubling down
and like ignoring it and hope it gets better, or like identifying it and be like, all right, we need to find somebody else to do this.
I mean, to me, it's not close. It's doubling down. I agree,
but you see it all the time, especially in these leagues where you're paying millions of dollars to coaches. Do you really want to pay them millions of dollars to not coach?
They were worse that year than I thought. I just double checked Valentine's record.
Oh, 2012?
Yep.
Oh,
any guesses?
How bad they were?
Yeah, it was way worse than I thought. I thought they were like 500-ish. It was way worse than
that. They win 60 games? 67 games?
69.
That was going to be my guess, but I would have thought everybody thought I was a pervert.
69-93. So I was about to say Valentine didn't get fired for what happened on the field. It was more like all the off-field weirdness.
Which it was both.
It was both with him, but they were worse than I remembered that year. I didn't remember them being that bad.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, this is like that. Mayo's not going to get fired just for winning three or four games. He's going to get fired for all of the weirdness off the field. So while we're on that, let me give you a couple of examples.
All right.
I personally think this is a leading question. Mayo had already said, it's about me, it's about the coaching staff, blah, blah, blah. Okay?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
he had already said that.
Put it on me.
So he gets asked at the end of the press conference, and you'll hear the question. This is after the game yesterday. Well, okay, it's on you, but when does it start to be on the players? So it is a leading question. You hear it here, but it's still a wild answer.
George, you say it starts with you, but when do the players have to start looking at themselves? I mean, you can only do so much. What is it on the players?
I mean, look, it's always, look, once those guys cross the white lines, there's nothing I can do for them. There's nothing any coach can do for them once they cross the white line. It's my job to continue to prepare not only them, but our coaches to go out here and play better football.
So that's such an outrageous quote for him in this situation.
Yeah.
I think if you really whittle that thing down, and if a great coach who has a winning record, and, you know, like if Andy Reid's asked about it after like a Patrick Mahomes game, it reads so much differently. Like, hey, we do what we can, but it's all about the players, and you're giving credit to the players. It's one thing. But when you're basically saying, yeah, we had 10 penalties, but like, that's not on us. Like, we didn't coach him to like have these penalties. It's like, well, kind of that is all involved in it. It's all encompassing.
And especially when you didn't have them in a padded practice on Wednesday, you're talking about the prep and getting them ready, and you went light last week. Yeah. Literally, you didn't have the players in pads. You went light last week, and then they come out and look unprepared. You're not preparing them well, and even still, it's a wild answer. You're walked into it, and you still don't say, well, there's nothing I can do, which may be accurate, or any coach can do once they're out there between the white lines. Like, I kind of get what he's saying. That's still a wild thing to say about your players.
No,
of course,
it's
coaches
an easy one.
They can aid them during the game. What are you talking about?
No, it's such an easy one to get out of. You just say, well, we all need to be better. Super simple.
Leave it there.
Super easy.
Yeah, I already said it. I mean,
coach better,
I respect the question, but yeah, I need to do better. It starts with me.
Obviously.
Even if it feels hollow, it starts with me.
Yes. But yeah, that is kind of crazy, because also it's wrong, right? I mean, there are guys on each side of the ball that call the plays. So if they're calling good plays, like the correct plays, or like reading the opposing defense or the opposing offense and sort of being one step ahead, like, do you think Mike McDaniel yesterday had anything to do once the players crossed the white lines? I feel like he coached him up pretty well.
And I was critical of him all week, but he had a good day. He coached circles around
Mayo. I mean, he did play the Patriots defense, so like, you're going to look pretty good.
But that was a factor. His scheme, his play calling was a factor there, and Mayo's was a factor as well. It was just a detraction.
But also, you know, all the coaching decisions, too, involve the players out there. Like, they're going to go along with it. We talk to Hunter Henry every week. He always just signs up for what the coaches do. But do you punt on fourth and short, or do you go for it on fourth and short? Like, all these different things are factors with what the coach can do when the players cross the white line. Like, it's just, it's such a dumb thing to say.
Let me give you another one that bothered me, and then you tell me if it helps inform the locker room scene after the game. This is this morning, before Greg's interview with Gerard Mayo. If you missed any of that, it's on the Audacy app, AUDACY. Get it on your phone, free, easy, take it with you wherever you go, including long trips this Thanksgiving and holiday season. You're going to want the Audacy app on your phone when you're stuck in traffic, going wherever, to grandma's on Thanksgiving. So here's what Mayo said this morning when asked about building a winning culture.
Has reestablishing a winning culture been more difficult than even you expected?
I never thought that we would be able to reestablish a culture, you know, in year one. It's a process. It's hard to change a culture, and we're trying to put those pieces together. I think it would be a disservice, you know, to get to the end of the year and not know exactly what we have from a player or coaching perspective, and that has to be our focus.
I never thought we'd be able to build a winning culture in year one.
What? I mean, all the stuff they said,
well, everything,
preseason.
Everything about him just screams that he wasn't ready, wasn't prepared, which is wild, because he knew a year in advance he was the guy. He might have known for multiple years he was the guy, and it's like he never even thought about it. Gerard Mayo got in writing in his contract he was going to take over for Bill, and he's like, all right, well, whatever. Whenever
cross
that happens,
bridge when I get to
exactly.
it.
Exactly. Yeah. That's crazy because he keeps saying, and he said it in interviews with Greg, he said it elsewhere.
Go ahead. Keep finishing.
Well, I was going to say, it's like, oh, I'll get to that in the offseason. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm taking notes, and I'll deal with this in the offseason. It's like, you better hope you get a second year, and why aren't you trying to fix that now?
You feel like more wins next season than this past season? Like, is that?
I do feel that way.
Okay. So we got you on record.
You got me on record.
Yeah. All right.
That we're going to win more than four games.
Yeah.
I'm on record.
You're on record?
Absolutely.
All right. Good. All right. Good. All right.
TBD, 3-9.
Are you sure about that?
Yeah. I feel 3-9.
Still
good
time.
About it after yesterday. Yeah.
Still got time to get there. And it's funny how he took the question and then actually kind of changed it and made it a little bit worse. So the question was, did you think you were going
to
like.
Did you find it difficult to establish a winning culture?
Winning culture. He takes winning out of it. Mayo does, and he just says culture, and like, we didn't think we're gonna be able to change the culture in year one. It's like, you didn't.
That's why you guys talked about. That's why you were hired.
But that's all he and Elliot Wolf in the whole pre-draft process and then the preseason. That's all they talked about was the communication.
Point.
They would take these little jabs at Bill, and even though you and I were of the it was time to move on from Belichick, we also thought, what's the point of jabbing Bill all of the time? Like, you guys haven't even coached a game yet, and you're talking about how, oh, it's a lot more communicative than it used to be. We're tearing down silos. Like, we all it was we're changing the culture. Now he's saying, well, we weren't going to change the culture in year one. So when were you planning on doing it then?
Seriously. It's like that.
Talk to us to year three. We might have a new culture.
Way too comfortable for a guy who should be on the hot seat and maybe not back for year two. Yeah. Way too comfortable.
And it should be, I feel like, an easier, as bad as the roster is, right? That's why I think the wins sort of a separate argument for this. But if you have a rookie quarterback who is good and everybody likes, he seems to say the right things, he seems to be a great teammate, isn't that like the easiest way? You guys went from Mac Jones to Drake May. Forget who's coaching him.
That should help your culture by itself. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Just that alone, you should be kind of one step ahead. And now 12 weeks into the year, you're like, no, nah, I mean, we're going to change the culture this year.
Well, it seems like
I never thought that we would be able to reestablish.
I never thought it.
A culture.
I never thought that.
Never even crossed my mind.
I never thought that.
That's nuts.
How about their culture, though, Keith? The locker room after the game. This is embarrassing,
yikes,
is what this is.
Yeah.
Andrew Callahan was the first that I saw it. He tweeted last night, like an hour after the game. This was one of the lighter Patriots locker rooms after a bad loss I can remember. Not a happy locker room, but more players smiling and joking than normal. And to say it felt at least accepting of the blowout and their reality at 3-9. Okay, that's one reporter.
Is losing fun?
No.
What are you having fun for?
It's one reporter, his take, his opinion.
Yeah.
Mark Daniels, this morning, Mass Live.
Uh-huh.
He details Drake May, who's taking the loss pretty hard. He says around the corner, it was a different scene. With several players on offense, nice game they played.
Offense was good. They were locked in. They had 7 points on a miracle heave.
Several players on offense, smiling and laughing with one another. It was a strange scene for a team that was embarrassed by the Dolphins. Although not everyone was happy, several players were upset.
Okay.
The sounds of light laughter filled the side of the room where offensive players got dressed.
Light laughter.
Light laughter.
So they weren't like watching like a hilarious comedy. No. They were just a couple of jokes.
Like
here,
a golf laughter. A
couple one-liners.
Yeah.
Mixed in there. So that's not bad. Because Gerard Mayo was asked about it this morning. He didn't think anybody was laughing. He said Verdarian Lowe is smiling because he smiles.
Mm-hmm.
That's his thing.
Smiley guy. Love smiling.
Guy Smiley. Verdarian Lowe. He had a lot to smile about yesterday.
Yep.
And then Hunter Henry, we asked him about it, and he said, no, he didn't see it. So, I don't know. I mean, it's a big locker room, so maybe there are others out there.
Well, look, maybe all these beat writers are wrong, and the Patriots are right, and they're not lying. But I'll tell you, they have a reason to lie. Let me add Bedard as well. The reason to lie is because it's embarrassing and a joke,
and it
looks terrible for the organization.
Mm-hmm.
Bedard, Boston Sports Journal. The vibe in the Patriots post-game locker room was ... interesting.
Interesting.
I've been trying to come up with the right word for it, and I think I've settled on unbothered.
Okay.
I've been in
They're not beating themselves up over
loss. No.
All right.
I've been in a bunch of different NFL locker rooms over the years.
Brag.
Big time brag.
Yep.
Including several on the other side when the Dolphins weren't so hot post-Dan Marino. And in most, if you laid an egg like that, they trailed 31-0 at one point against the divisional opponent, especially one that entered with a 4-6 record. It's a good point. The Dolphins aren't even good. You'd pretty much expect everyone to be miserable, irritable, and not a whole lot of fun to talk to.
Mm.
Guys were affable, insightful. There were even smiles and some jokes.
Okay.
There was no tension in
the
air.
That's probably that Ben McAdoo.
Probably.
You know, he's hilarious.
He's a real cut-up.
Yep.
There was no tension in the air where you feel like you need to walk on eggshells. There was no whiff of players being pissed or embarrassed, which made the rank and file the complete opposite of fans at home and on social media who were venting hot and heavy after this one. It's true. Fans,
were
media,
steaming,
pissed.
Yep.
And the players in the locker room are laughing it off.
Yeah. So, I mean, how do you feel about the outlook for the final 5 games of the season? Feels like it's just going to be like kind of checked out.
Well, let me tell you,
there might be some good moments. There might, you know, but overall, like, they're kind of done.
Do you think the Colts, we both had it chalked up as a win 2 weeks ago. You think the Colts are a win?
No.
I don't either.
No, I don't think they are. I mean, they could be. Like, both levels of talent are poor. So, yeah, I mean, any given Sunday type of thing. We saw some upsets this just yesterday. But, no, I don't feel as strongly about that one. You know, if this team had, like, their head screwed on, even if it was the same level of talent or lack of talent, but they were just a little bit better coached, a little bit more disciplined, I mean, the Colts and the Cardinals, neither one are these wagons.
No.
But right now, I mean, I would take Colts or Cardinals in those games. They have the bye week in between. Like this team's every guy on the team's gonna be in Cancun that week. So you're not gonna see those guys.
They have a foot out the door to the bye week. Mayo even referenced it last night in his press conference. I didn't have Nick pull it, but he had a weird line where he was like, "Oh well, you know, it's late in the year, and you know, guys know where the bye week is, and this and that." And it's like, okay,
yeah, they're in it.
So they're checked out. They're looking ahead to the bye week. You didn't have a padded practice on Wednesday. And then the team followed suit. You went easy on them.
Right.
They took advantage of it. They're laughing off the loss after the game, which was an embarrassing loss, 34-15. It wasn't anywhere near that close. 24 points in the second quarter.
That was the worst game probably from start to finish they played.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. The last time they played the Dolphins was ugly because the Dolphins were also so bad.
It was an unwatchable product.
Yes.
But it wasn't a bigger blowout or a worse game than this.
No, this was a worse game because you had like a real team now on the other side, and then they just embarrassed you, and you scored a couple of touchdowns that were both fluky kind of touchdowns. Other than that, you got embarrassed.
So it's not just about the results on the field. We keep saying that, but this is the example of it.
Yeah, they don't all look the same.
No, and guys are checked out after the game, maybe even checked out going into the game. That's what's going to get Mayo fired. All the PR flare-ups, you know, sticking his foot in his mouth. Him doing nothing during these games, the losses on the field, and then this. Like, if you're a fan, you're pissed after the game. Bedard's right about this. You're pissed after the game. And the players are in there laughing and yucking it up.
We're back at, and, you know, with the players, there's always turnover and, you know, certain guys that are free agents. Although, if it's like last year, they'll just re-sign all their own guys. But as far as running it back next year, I don't see, outside of, like, winning out, how can Robert Kraft bring back Mayo, Van Pelt, Covington, Wolf? And I think maybe you need to be more patient with the GM, like I was saying earlier, but I'm just saying, like, those four guys in those significant roles, and Robert Kraft's like, yeah, we're good. Like, how is any Patriot fan going to look at that and be like, yeah, you know what? These guys do need more time.
They get it.
They need more time. Or you're just wasting Drake May's rookie contract, which is where you need to capitalize.
That's the reason for urgency, because that should be the fear. 617-779-7937. What'd you think of the loss yesterday? What'd you think of the scene in the locker room afterwards? And what does it all mean for Jerod Mayo and his job security? It feels tenuous, to say the least. We do have Christian Gonzalez joining us this hour on a Patriots Monday, man-to-man-to-man coverage. 10 questions, 3 men. Christian Gonzalez every Monday here on Jones and Keefe. If you missed the Kristaps Porzingis news, we have breaking news. Woo! Earlier this hour, Billy will detail all of it here in Trending.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
We're right back.
The penalties were a whole nother thing yesterday. Oh, right off the rip, first drive, or quote-unquote drive. And so, you know, I part of me did want them to go for it on fourth and one at that point in the game, but already, like, you had just get more yards than you needed because of a Vidarian Lowe got you started with a penalty, and then it was Jacobs, then it was Lowe, then it was Jacobs, then it was Lowe. A little bit of defense, but mostly the offense and the offensive line. Or Kayshon Booty, who I don't think I don't know if the receivers on the team know all the rules.
Doesn't seem that way.
No.
Doesn't seem like they have the firmest grasp. Yeah, yeah, they might need it. The firmest grasp, it doesn't seem like they have. They might need a refresher at some point. So, yeah, it was wild how they just kept trading off penalty after penalty. Your turn, my turn, your turn. It was like watching Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown back in the day. Yeah, they never passed the ball to each other. It was my possession, your possession, my possession, your possession. That is now what Vidarian Lowe and DeMondre Jacobs are doing.
It was a tough go.
Because that was rough. And Mayo, after the game, did say, he was asked, will there be questions or changes, rather, to the lineup? And he was like, yeah.
There has been.
Yeah.
You know, and part of it
to
is...
To who, though? Who
are
you going
to? The thing is, so do you blame Mayo or do you understand where he's like, I can't just bench all the guys that make mistakes because everyone's making mistakes and all the backups are horrible. The starters are bad. So, are you more annoyed about... And I don't know.
Can I split the difference on that? I would say they don't have good personnel on the offensive line, but it shouldn't look that bad.
No, and so they should know...
On some level, that's a reflection on your coaching staff.
There should be some sort of ramification for your constant penalties.
Well, didn't they bench one of them and City So ended
they benched
playing
Jacobs
tackle?
Late in the game.
And put a guard at tackle?
Mayo was asked this morning...
Well, that's what they've been doing all year with Onwenu.
Mayo was asked this morning, why Jacobs instead of Vidarian Lowe? And he's like, I don't know. I can only bench one of them.
Yeah. Well, that was Ron Renicki, remember, a couple years ago in the lost baseball season that was 2020 for the Red Sox? And at one point in one of the post games, they asked him, well, did you think of taking out so-and-so? Or he's like, who do you want me to play? He basically was like, my team sucks.
It's a bad team.
He's like, I've been giving only bums. Look up the pitchers from the 2020 Red Sox. That's kind of what the offensive line is for the Patriots. So part of me is, I'm not looking to make a lot of excuses for Jerod Mayo, but that might be one where you're like, I don't know where you want him to turn. They're barely slapping together any kind of a offensive line to begin with. And now if both your tackles keep making penalties, now you're down to what? Your fifth and sixth tackle? It's going to be guards playing there? And then is that helping or hurting Drake May? I know every time they walk it back 5 or 10 yards, it's hurting Drake May. But if you have guys that have never played left and right tackle trying to protect him, you're also not helping him.
I think we have 5 number ones.
The funny thing is, early in the game, May looked good.
Yeah.
May looked like he had... This was not the Jets game where he got hurt.
No, he picked up... He kept some plays alive. He was able to pick up some yards.
That's what it was. He was under siege the whole game. Uh-huh. He was just dealing with it pretty well early on. And then it just became a mess. I blame him fully on the fumble. Fully is too strong,
but what was he doing?
Far too loose with the ball. The pick wasn't great.
The pick was frustrating. The pick last week, I know we debated whether it's his fault or not. Van Pelt was like, it was Pop Douglas' fault. This week, it was just, once again, trying to keep something alive, and it wasn't there. A really athletic play by the D lineman for the Dolphins, but still, you can't have that.
One thing I've enjoyed, and I said this earlier in the show, I'm not the biggest Bill Simmons guy, but I've enjoyed Bill Simmons.
He's been getting
ripping
testy.
The team game on Sundays.
Yep.
He says, this Pats game is indescribable. It's like a 2024 greatest hits compilation of all the bad coaching, dumb plays, scared coaching, and inexplicable penalties this season. The team is getting worse. He then says Kraft will do nothing and bring everyone back. No way he pays two coaches.
Might be right.
So it's a shot at Kraft and his cheapness on top of everything else. Do you think he's right? Do you think Mayo's back?
I've been super confident that he would be back. Again, not that I want him to be, but just the prediction game of will he be back? Yeah. I still think he will be back. I just think the relationship between Thunder and Thundercat or whatever is just too strong that it might get to the point where there'll be a bunch of other fall guys, but it won't be Mayo.
Yeah, I said it earlier. It could be Covington. It could be Van Pelt. It could even be Wolf before Mayo.
Maybe if it's so bad, it might be all three. The Eagles, I know this is different because Sirianni made a Super Bowl, but last year I feel like the Eagles wanted to fire Sirianni. They didn't. They ended up keeping him, but they got him 2 new coordinators. So it's basically you got to figure this out this year. And so far he has. But I don't know. It's been bad for sure. I just wonder if Kraft is afraid to go back on his – he didn't just compare him to a good feeling. He was my 2 wives.
Yeah, he went a little far.
He went a lot far.
He went a touch far.
But so he obviously loves – Mayo, and because Mayo didn't pick this roster, I think that also gives him a little bit of an out. When Bill Belichick had fired, it had a lot more, in my opinion, it had a lot more to do with the roster that he assembled than it did his game day coaching and his practice practice field coaching. Whereas with Mayo, he doesn't have that. You can't put Jalen Polk in the second round on Jerod Mayo. You can put all these game day decisions and the team looking like they are on him. But the personnel being as bad as it is, like, he skates on that.
Let me give you, and I agree, and I'll tell you, I wasn't around in 2000, meaning like covering the team or in media. I was alive.
I'm 22 years old.
But
you and Terp, you weren't around in 2000?
The people who covered the Patriots in 2000?
Yeah.
Bill wasn't a lock to return in year two.
Right.
That was not a done deal. Now, he came back.
Yep.
He started 0-2. He didn't go to Brady. He was forced to go to Brady. And the future of the whole organization turned. A dynasty was born. Okay? But Bill wasn't completely safe at the end of that first year.
No, you're right.
The people who were around at that time covering the team and talking about the team at that time,
but
that's how a lot of people felt.
Does that also point to him keeping Mayo? Because Belichick, or
okay,
Kraft's Bill, the one that knows
maybe,
that maybe he almost moved on.
Bill's first season wasn't good. And let's not try to turn it into anything that it wasn't. Was it this bad? With the missteps and stuff off the field, the PR nightmare.
What'd you go from, though? 9 wins to 5? Or
I
8 to 5?
Carroll's last year was 8-8. Yeah.
Maybe it was 8.
Yeah.
So you went 3 wins worse. Yeah, as far as like everything and like how the games look, maybe not a little bit different.
Right.
But he didn't drop 3 games.
You might have been worse in the standings,
yeah,
and also, you know, worse off the field. So yeah, Bill survived in 2000. But
mm-hmm.
I think it was closer than people remember. And so what does that mean for Jerod Mayo moving forward, especially in light of that blowout loss, 34-15, against the Miami Dolphins? We've been talking about it all day long here on a Patriots Monday on Jones and Keefe, and we're joined now by Patriots cornerback Christian Gonzalez. He's brought to you by Shaw's and Star Market, perfecting the art of fresh, and by Drains by James, Eastern Mass's top provider of drain and sewer cleaning and repair. Christian Gonzalez, how are we doing this week?
How's it going on? I'm doing good. How are you?
Oh, we're doing well. Obviously not the result you wanted yesterday on the field, but how did it feel for you to get in the end zone?
We didn't get the job done. It was nice to get back in the end zone. Missed it.
What can you tell us about going up against the speed of the Miami Dolphins? I feel like every week you guys go up against really fast players. It is the NFL, but Miami sort of has that next level.
About the speed? Yeah, I mean, it's just a different speed. You know, you can't replicate that speed in practice. So, it's a challenge, but, I mean, we look forward to it, and it's a fun divisional game every time we play.
You were a late addition to the injury report on Friday. It seemed like you were a game-time decision yesterday, put through some workouts prior to the game. You certainly looked healthy out there. I know you didn't want to go into great detail about it after the game, but how close were you to not playing yesterday?
I played. At the end of the day, that's all that mattered. I played.
Yeah, there was a report from a couple of different beat reporters that were down in Miami. One, Mark Daniels, who covers the team from Mass Live, saying that after the game, he saw several players on offense smiling and laughing with one another. Is that something you noticed after the loss? Were there a lot of guys that were in good moods?
I mean, nobody likes to lose. It's you know, we go to work every week. I don't know what they were seeing. I mean, if there was people smiling, I mean, it's, you know, you don't want to lose, but you just got to, you know, it's a part of the game. You lose, you move on, you win, you move on. So, I mean, you can't mope around about it all the time, or that's only going to carry over.
All right, very good. Now, back by popular demand is our 10 questions not about football. We did this last week with you, Christian. Are you ready for another round of that?
Yeah, come on.
Okay.
It's man-to-man coverage. Quick hitters with Christian Gonzalez.
Yes! Yes! Not yes! Not yes! Hell yes!
All right, Christian Gonzalez, would you rather fight one horse-sized duck or 100 duck-sized horses?
Probably one duck.
Okay. Have you ever swam in a t-shirt?
Have I ever swam in a t-shirt?
Yes.
No. We don't do that.
Do you think there are more doors or wheels in the world?
Doors and wheels? Probably wheels.
Probably. Worst place to have to go number two, Christian? Stuck in traffic or on a first date?
Traffic.
What is your favorite Thanksgiving side?
Mac and cheese.
How many 10-year-olds would it take to beat you up?
Probably a lot. I'd say probably 10. 10-year-olds.
Is soup something you eat or drink?
Eat.
We asked you this last week, Christian. What is the name of this radio show?
Jones and Keith.
Wow! Okay, nice work. Good job. Good job, Christian.
What is the last movie you saw in the theater?
Probably Smile, I think, the first one.
Would you rather have an oversized head or oversized feet?
Hey.
All right, there you go. That's how you play. Man to man to man.
Good stuff, Christian, here on Jones and Keith. Any Thanksgiving traditions we should know about with the holiday coming up?
I mean, here. So.
Okay. Well, I know you guys have the day off. Enjoy the holiday. Good luck with the Colts on Sunday, and we'll talk to you next week.
I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Christian Gonzalez.
Very good.
Brought to you by Verizon, the official 5G network of the New England Patriots. How about that, Jones and Keith?
Nailed it. Was waiting for it, I think.
He was licking his chops waiting for that question, I think.
Jones and Keith.
Nailed it.
I was like, no, he's not getting this. Jones, kind of an easy name. Like Jones and Smith. Nailed it, though.
No, that was good. Okay, how about that?
I think that went well.
I like the 10 questions. I think the people like the 10 questions.
Well, a lot of those were listener submissions.
Oh, that's a good point. Oh,
A lot of those were listener submissions.
I should have said that before the fact. Almost all the ones I asked were listener submissions.
Yeah.
Text line, Twitter, shout out to Date Mike and Take Quakes on Twitter. I'm not sure who had it on the text line, I am reading all of them.
Yeah.
We're crowdsourcing these. You can send them in to Jones and Keith. Almost all of the questions that I asked, and maybe some that you asked as well, were crowdsourced from listeners to this show.
I wonder if he likes horror movies. If the last movie he saw was Smile. Smile's a horror movie.
That was also a while ago.
It was. He doesn't go to the movies.
They've made a sequel since then.
Correct. Smile 2 was just in theaters last month. It's good. It's creepy. It's a good creepy horror movie.
His favorite movie, Stand By Me, but he loves horror movies.
Well, it's a Stephen King, you know?
Oh, you find out a lot. You find out a lot about this man in those 10 questions.
Yep. That's one of the questions next week. Don't spoil it.
What was that?
Do you like horror movies? Yes.
Oh, do you like horror movies? Yeah. Yes or no?
Uh-huh.
Okay. I did like. He's like, I don't swear a T-shirt.
Nah.
Out of my face with that.
He was mad.
Must be nice.
Yeah. Ooh, look at you.
Way
to go.
Congratulations.
Look at me.
Professional athlete. Well conditioned. Good for you. So that's every week here on Jones and Keith. Man to man to man coverage. 3 men, 10 questions with Christian Gonzalez on a Patriots Monday. You can submit your listener questions for next week. 617-779-7937. We'll continue here with all your feedback. We'll get into Mac Jones. I'm sorry. Drake May. Yikes.
Oh, my God.
You watch your mouth.
Yikes.
How dare I? We'll get back into Drake May, rather, next.
We're going to get to Drake May, not Mac Jones. My God, where did that come from? I know the team is bad, but
that's
one position I think.
I don't like
we
it.
We don't need to go there.
You know what else has started to happen to me, Keith? I told you this
What's
off
that?
The air. We've mocked Gerard Mayo so much for the what I will say.
I will say this.
That started to work its way
now
into
you're saying
my...
It?
I swear, I bet during... Nick, I bet during the... what happened around the NFL.
You said it
I might have said it 2 or 3 times.
That's scary.
To the point where...
Yeah, that can happen.
What I will say is...
Let me say
that. That started to work... We've mocked it so much, it's worked its way into my own vocabulary.
It's one of those things you say ironically, and then you start using it all the time.
Exactly. Yeah.
You're screwed.
I don't like it. I got to work
tough.
On that.
That is tough.
Much like Gerard Mayo, I'll wait till next year to work on that.
Well, you're just building for next year.
I'm making notes for next year. I'll get to it next year. Yeah. If you missed any of our Christian Gonzalez interview, man to man to man, 3 men, 10 questions.
Right.
I think he liked Gonzalez, him this week. I also kind of think he liked him
I think
week.
He actually does.
Yeah. Like, not
he
even
joking.
He
thinks about him. And I'm not being facetious. He, like, he listens to him and he tries to figure out what the best answer is.
Yes.
Even though they're all nonsense for the most part. But no, it's good.
They were mostly listener submissions this week. Yep. He did get the name of the show right.
Yeah. Now we were speculating.
He's getting a little bit of criticism here.
For?
Text line 37937. He said Jones and Keith. Close is enough. What I heard. Oh, we'll take that.
Close enough.
100% we'll
he
take
would
that.
Not be the first person to call me Keith.
People are also saying next week you should ask which one is which. We're not going to do that.
Not
once
important.
He got the, once no, he got the name God, of the no. show, which I'm shocked he got this week, the bit that part yeah. of the bit is dead. Yeah.
If we were in person with him, maybe yeah. we would say who's who. Yeah, that, but like on the work. Phone, I don't think it's even
who's
work.
Jones, who's Keith.
Yeah.
Good point. Do you think he knew the name of the show, or do you think Aaron or whoever was standing next to him whispered it to him?
I think it's that thing. The second thing,
yeah.
I think, or even like wrote it down and like was listening.
Had it, just, held it like a sign, like a limo
yeah,
driver.
Showed it to him. Like,
yeah, yeah.
Jones, and he's like, Jones, and he's like, what is that? Keith.
I think that's what happened, but yeah. still, whatever.
Hey, win's a win.
It is.
They were yeah. ready for
he
it.
He was well coached.
W.
Well coached.
Unlike on Sunday, Jones.
Unlike on Sunday, Keith, for sure. So we really haven't gotten to Drake May as much today. I know we've been accused of being Drake May cheerleaders. What yeah. did you think of his day yesterday?
Not very good. I think, to your point, I think he started out pretty decent. And, you know, you could debate whether they could have gone for it on the first drive. Then the second drive, they moved down the field, settled for a missed field goal, right? So they at least put him in a position to score points. And then it was kind of a mess. And it was such an uphill climb for him. This is where I make excuses for him. But when both your tackles can't run two or three plays without committing a penalty, any kind of positive momentum you get, you're immediately backed up. Or instead of second and 10, now it's second 15 or whatever. Like it, that was brutal, all the penalties that he had to withstand. But with that said, wasn't great. The fumble is definitely on him. The interception is on him. You know rookies are going to turn it over. But I'll take the turnovers when I get more plays. Like I need more plays. And yeah, he made something out of nothing for the one offensive touchdown they scored to Austin Hooper. That was a great individual play by him and a quick catch and run by Hooper on a fourth and long. But overall, I don't know, most Mondays after a Drake May game, I felt better about how he played.
Same. Might have been his worst game. Might have been.
Yeah, yeah.
Now,
maybe.
If the floor for Drake May is 7 offensive points, you know, 222 yards or whatever it was. I'll pull the box score
yeah,
up. I think it was 222.
And then he ran for 26.
You know, with 2 turnovers, is that, like, we legitimately thought there could be 3 and 4 interception games for him.
Yeah. But I was hoping there'd be, like, 2-3 touchdowns.
Correct.
On top of that.
So if that's the floor, maybe that's a slightly higher floor than we thought. Remember, Mayo, when he was at, Mayo during the draft process was asked about Drake May. And before they even took him, I think. And he's like, well, he's got maybe the lowest floor out of all of them, but he's also got a high ceiling. If that's the lowest floor, then yeah. maybe it's a little higher than we thought if you want to go silver lining, but that was a bad game yesterday. It was maybe the worst game that he played. If you care about any of the advanced metrics, completion percentage over expected, he was among the worst quarterbacks in the NFL yesterday. He fumbled again. To me, the fumbles, Keith, are more concerning than the picks. I mean, the pick was brutal. But he's a guy trying to make a play. The fumble, to me, watch that one. We said this the other week. Watch that, because that's now a high number. He has 5 fumbles, the most on the team this season, and he wasn't playing week one like everybody else. On top of that, he had another mix-up with Pop Douglas yesterday.
Yeah, I don't think they're on the same page.
So who'd
starting
you put,
to think.
Who'd you put that one on? That one I do put on Douglas.
Yeah.
That one, that's yeah. one where you
got, one on too,
you got
yeah.
to sit down in the zone there.
Yeah.
Drake May is clearly throwing to a spot. You got to sit down there. So I didn't put the pick a week ago on Pop Douglas. This one I would put.
I think if you read like the body language too.
Not the pick, I'm sorry, the incompletion.
No, no, no. Yeah, I put them both on Pop, but yeah, either way, it's up for debate, I suppose. Although Van Pelt did say it was on Pop, but this last one, I think if you kind of read Drake May's reaction to it, he's not going to throw a teammate under the bus ever, but I think if it was his fault, he might have reacted a little bit differently. Like, you know what's not like the way he like grabbed his head?
Yeah.
Rather than being like patting his chest, being like, that's on me kind of thing. Like, I feel like that was on Pop Douglas.
Are you
also real quick, just going through like the first half,
mm-hmm.
I think they had a penalty on every drive.
That was awful.
With the exception of one, and it was the drive that they started it with a Ramondre Stevenson like weird run where he got tackled for like -6.
Yeah, where Miami.
So that might as well have been a penalty.
Miami was ready for it, yeah.
They were on that one.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I'm like, but basically there were negative plays between penalty or loss of yards on every drive in the first half. So then you're already down 24-0. At that point, it's like, all right, what are you going to do?
Are you worried about bad habits creeping in? With it's the end of the year, players are laughing it off in the locker room. They're looking ahead to their bye week. As you said, they're probably going to Cancun.
Yeah.
In other words, the players around him don't care. He seemed to be beating himself up after the game. The players around him don't seem to care, specifically on offense. They're laughing in the locker room after the game. Are you worried about developing bad habits
in
the final month plus?
So a little bit less so with Drake May. Like, I'm hoping that he kind of like learns from some of these things. And then you now you're one of the reasons why I was very pro him starting week one is you just throw him into a lot of these different situations. All right, how do you respond when the team is down by 8 points, you know, with 2 minutes to go versus, you know, all these different scenarios that you have? I say throw it on him, and hopefully he learns from those. Some of those other guys, I don't know if it's as much bad habits or just how many of these guys that are on the team right now do I really think are going to be a part of the team whenever they're good again?
Mm.
Like the offensive line, maybe on Wanu. Like how many guys?
Maybe.
Maybe.
Yeah.
I don't even know. Like by the time they're really good again, and even if that is 2 years from now, there's so much turnover in the NFL, and I don't even know how many of these guys on the team you really like. Friend of the show, Christian Gonzalez, Drake May. It's kind of it. Like Hunter Henry, good pro, but if you're talking about like guys that are under 25 that you
Keon,
like.
Keon White, is he even under 25? He was in college for a long time.
He's young. Oh, yeah, good point. Dr. White. I feel like, yes, yeah, some days I really like him, some days I don't.
I if you asked me in September, yes, but now I'm like, eh.
Yeah, no.
Offensive weapon, Marcus Jones?
It's May and Gonzo. So, like, to answer your question, if some of the other guys start developing bad habits, so be it. You're going to have to get new players anyway.
I know we're a touch late, but let me give you another one. I never really got why people wanted to re-sign him in the first place.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
Duggar.
Can't defend the pass at all.
I have been saying this for years about Kyle
Duggar.
Is
he involved in all four touchdowns?
Yeah, I think so. He was definitely on the Johnny one and the second Achan one. I don't know every single one.
He cannot.
Okay, I've been saying this for years about him. He is terrible in pass coverage. Correct. If he is coming up, he's playing in the box, he's coming up against like horizontal passes, screen passes and things like that, he'll knock the crap out of you. And if he's coming up on running backs and helping in the run game, he is a force. But in the passing game, he's horrible. And he's been horrible. And they're paying this guy. And he's not young, by the way, either. You want to talk about a guy who was in college forever. So he's not a player who's under 25?
No, he's not.
What does he do? What does he bring to the table? Other than an outdated game that doesn't really fit in today's NFL played in space.
Every once in a while he hits a guy. Like Brandon Merriweather without the cheap shots.
So like
he's 28.
Thank you. So what does he do? What does he bring to the table? That was the guy you prioritized in the offseason.
No, he should be benched after how he played on Sunday. I mean, he was not very good.
You can jump in 617-779-7937. More second guessing for the coaching staff, including how they approach the game during the week. That's next.